So where would you start if you were considering buying a different car, Brad?
The first place I would go to is asking myself, do I actually need a different car? So a lot of times we're attracted and want to buy things, but the question is, do we really need it? And as Larry Burkett famously said, the cheapest car we can drive is the one we currently own. And that is just so true. So if our current car is still doing fine, it may be wise for us to consider keeping it a little bit longer and not spending that money on the car right now. We may have a better use for that money, or maybe we just need to set it aside for when we actually do need that car. But let's say the answer to that question is, yes, I do. I actually do need a different car at this point. Then we need to ask ourselves, what can we afford? And we've probably all heard the term car poor before, used to describe somebody that stretches to buy the car that they want, even though maybe it's more than they should be spending on it. And as a result, they really don't have any money left. Well, our goal is to eventually to not even have a car payment at all. So that's what we're going to be talking about a little bit today, is how do we spend within our means and how do we eventually get ourselves out of this budget trap of having this big car payment each month.
Well, Brad, I'm bracing myself for your answer to this next question, because I probably have made every mistake that you're going to mention when it comes to buying a car. But what are some common mistakes that you see people make when they're going out and they're making that big purchase?
I think we've all made a lot of these mistakes, so nobody needs to feel guilty about it. But one of the famous ones and the really common ones is that we look at cars mistakenly as a status symbol. And we think, oh, well, this is an extension of my personality, which a car can be to some degree. We're going to typically drive something that reflects our personality. But we look at it from the standpoint of status, that we think if we drive a new or more expensive car that people are going to think more highly of us. And reality, cars are a very poor indicator of wealth, because so many cars are just a matter of having a monthly payment. It's not that we're paying the full value in cash. Most people are going out, stretching their budget, and just being willing to pay just a little bit more to get that more expensive car. And the reality behind the situation, which I'm privileged to typically see when I'm sitting down with people, is they're spending a lot of money on the car, and their financial situation really isn't all that good. So they're putting on a good face, but the financial picture behind the scenes is really not that great. So that trap of trying to use a car as a status symbol is a huge mistake. And then the other big mistake I commonly see is that we give up on our cars too early. And if you look statistically, the average car lasts about 11 and a half years, but the average new car owner only keeps it for 6.5. So we're giving up on our cars and moving on to the next one while there's still a lot of usable life left in the car that we currently have. And if you think about it, once your car's at 6.5 years old, it's not depreciating very fast at that point. So your value is not going down by driving it one more year. You didn't lose much value in that car, and it's probably still a fairly reliable car. So if we can just get ourselves in that habit of keeping our cars just a little bit longer, getting more life out of them, that's how we can keep our cars from being such a financial drain on our situation as well.
Well, Brad, you know, I think that whole perspective of focusing on a monthly car payment is sort of a trap that we get sucked into. So dealerships usually talk to us from that perspective about that monthly payment. So why do they do that, and how do we avoid getting caught up in that?
I think there's two reasons why they do it. Number one, a lot of people don't have the cash. So most people are going out there, and it's just assumed that they're going to be taking on a loan. But number two, it's a really good marketing perspective to have as well. So people are willing to spend more money as a whole when they think of it just as a smaller monthly payment. So just consider the example of whether or not you're willing to spend $500 a month on a nice new car, or you're willing to drop $25,000 of cash on that car. It's a lot harder to convince somebody to write that big check and think about the $25,000 amount and what difference that can make in their life versus $500 a month. So we often think in monthly payments, it allows us to not view it as such a big purchase. But when we consider that full actual value of the car, it can change our perspective and make us not want to spend as much. So it just makes sense that they're looking at it from the monthly payment amount. And we always need to be looking at it as far as what is the total cost of this car. And if we're going to try to avoid that conversation, we need to start by talking total purchase price from the very beginning. Don't get caught up in the monthly payment discussion. If we ultimately need to take out a loan and we need to think, we should have done the math ahead of time to know roughly what we can spend and keep it within this monthly payment amount. But don't start the conversation that way, because it's easy to jump it up an extra $25 a month and not realize, oh, well, that's thousands of dollars on mm-hmm. the price of the car that I just jumped up. So if we're always talking total value, we can talk loan value or loan amounts later and loan payments later once we stayed within that price range we're looking for.
You know, I'm glad that you brought that up. And I know that there are ways that they have of doing business. And I'm not meaning, you know, for this to sound disparaging at all. But the last time I bought a car, Brad, that's what the salesperson kept pushing and pushing and pushing at me. He just wanted to talk monthly payments. I finally said, why is that all you're talking to me about? Here's what I want to go over. This is what's important to me. So that's a great thing to be aware of, because you are so right. You can end up spending way more than you intended. Car payments. We would all like to not have car payments, Brad. How do we get to the point where we can do that?
Well, the big reason why we don't want to have car payments is if you look at our typical budget, the car payment is one of the bigger payments we have. So we have, as far as debts go, we have the mortgage, which is normally the biggest. But, I mean, even if you have a family that husband and wife each have a car payment, sometimes that can be as big as the house payment is. So it makes a huge difference in the freedom that our budget gives us. So getting rid of the car payments, that's a huge goal that we should all have. And the first thing we're going to do is start by keeping the current car we have longer than what we owe on it. So let's say you bought a car and you borrowed the money for it. You got 3 years left to pay on it. Try to commit to keeping that car as long as it'll run for you. Keep it at least 4 years. If you can get 5 or 6 years out of it, even better. Because as soon as that car is paid off, you want to now redirect that loan payment that you had been making on the loan, put that into a savings account, and start saving up that money for your next car purchase. And then once you get to the point that it's no longer economical to drive the car that you're driving, so let's say you've kept it now for 6 or 7 years, and you're starting to put a little bit more into repairs, and it's just time to move on to the next car. Take the trade-in value that you're getting from that car, plus the cash you've been able to save up since your loan has been paid off, and now you can go buy the new one with the cash that you've saved up. And let me just give you a quick example of what this could look like. So you bought a new car, you're paying $400 a month on it, for 5 years. If you can keep it until the sixth year, that $400 a month would almost be $5,000 of cash that you saved up, and you've got the trade-in value of a six-year-old car that should still have a lot of trade-in value. That should give you really good options when you go out and look to find a reasonably priced used car, and you've got the trade-in value plus $5,000 in hand. Now go and try to get that next car without a loan payment. And then that gives you the entire life of that car to be saving up for the next one. And it really starts a positive cycle for you.
Well, that process, seems simple, and who wouldn't want to have a car without a payment? But those aren't always the situations that people have. So where that doesn't quite work out, Brad, so easily for people, how do they handle those situations where they can't necessarily have a car without a payment at all?
Yeah, so for some people, the reason why it doesn't work out is the lack of discipline. So we get so tempted that once the car gets paid off, we quickly jump to the next one. So discipline, we're not going to talk about right now. That's a whole different issue. But let's say you're hearing our discussion today and you say, yes, this is what I want to do. And you start saving up each month, and 2 months down the road, your car gives out on you. And you didn't have time to save up enough cash to really go buy that next car that you were planning to go buy. At that point in time, you really need to try to stick to the overall plan. Don't just throw your hands up in the air and say, you know what, it's never going to work for me, I'm going back to the way I've always done it. Stick to the plan of never having a car payment again. And in order to continue on that plan, we really have two good options. The first one is we can look at what our car that just went out on us, what it's worth as far as a trade-in or salvage value, plus whatever cash we do have available, and will that actually buy us a next car? It may not be the ideal car we wanted, but will it buy us another car that buys us some more time? If so, that's an option for us. If not, then what we do is we look at going backwards as little as possible. And what we want to do is, if we need to borrow a little bit more money than what we have, we go ahead and borrow that money, but we try to keep the loan small and try to keep it as short-term as we can. And then we try to stay reasonable on the value of the car that we're going to buy. So if we were planning on buying a $15,000 car, maybe now we're taking it back to $7,000, $8,000, $10,000, something like that. And it's what I like to call a bridge car. It's trying to bridge the gap between now and ultimately getting what I was intending to buy originally. But the plan didn't work out that way. So we're trying to just bridge a gap of time. And maybe it's a car you only plan to keep 2 or 3 years, but you're trying to do it in a way that even if you took out debt, you're paying off the debt and giving yourself enough time to save up a decent amount to buy that car you had intended to buy the next time it comes around. And by doing that, either one of those will keep you on that plan to eventually get you free of a car payment.
Okay. Hey, Brad, we've got just about a minute left, and then we got to let you move on, and we got to move on. But really quickly, spiritual implications where buying a car is concerned. Anything that we need to know as we go through that process?
Yeah, cars are nice and shiny and very tempting for us. So we have to be really careful with material possessions like that because we can always be led astray by the sins of greed, pride, vanity, those types of things. And our society values cars as status symbols. What we need to do is always remind ourselves a car is just a tool. And if our car gets us where we're wanting to go, then it's done its job and we should be content in that. So even if our car is not exactly what we want it to be, we need to find contentment in knowing that it's a tool and it's doing its job and we're trying to be good stewards of what God's given to us. And the other spiritual implication is that we need to be careful that we don't take on these car payments and presume upon tomorrow and presume upon God's provision for tomorrow because we don't know what tomorrow brings. And especially when there's a cheaper option for us, we shouldn't be taking on these big car payments and presuming upon God's provision. So we need to be careful of both of those things.